Welcome to the greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club, where every weekend they're going to talk about taking an animal and throwing it on some scorching flames and turning it into the tastiest morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman, but they don't drag women into their cave. No, they're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure them into your cave and keep her hair looking good. When you want to find the center of the barbecue universe, just look at a map of North America and look for that big grilling mitt. That's where they're at. It's the Grilling Guys.
Welcome. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Thanks for tuning in. It's the weekend, and hopefully you're not buried in snow in the middle of the week. I talked to my sales guy up in the Ludington area, and he said they got a foot up there on Tuesday night into Wednesday. So winter has not lost its grip on us yet, but wherever you're listening, hopefully you got your toes in the sand and a beer in your hand. I'm Jop, and he's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
I am too.
Yeah.
Hey, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us. It is the Grilling Guys. It's the smokiest show on the radio. I know that. We're going out across the fruited plains, as Rush would say, but we're hitting more and more stations. So wherever you are, thanks for taking some time to kick back with a cup of coffee and maybe a cold one if it's the right time of the day. It's always the right time of the day.
Yeah,
apparently it is, because we're cracking one right now.
Right. Yeah. So we're going to talk to our friends from Old Nation Brewery later in the show, and you're not going to want to miss this because they've got some pretty cool micro-brewed beer right here in Michigan that they've just come out with, and you're not going to want to miss it because Bob had a little field trip, and we'll talk with the owner of the brewery, and we'll yuck it up a little bit with him. But first, what'd you cook this week, Bob? Anything?
You know, I didn't grill, I don't think, a thing. Had a bad week. I lost a brother-in-law.
Oh.
Yeah, and his name is John Michaels. We've been like best friends ever since he married my sister-in-law. We're outlaws, you know. So
this is Maureen's sister's husband?
Yes.
Okay.
And we raised our kids together. They had kids like the same ages as ours. They had four boys.
Well, they didn't have a litter like you. They only had four.
They had four boys. And so
they're
Emily, Maggie, Alex, and Jordan's ages, which was perfect, especially when they're little, because
right.
You go on trips together, do all these things. Your kids have playmates.
Spring break kind of stuff that's going on
exactly.
Right now, you bet.
But John was just a great guy and just a phenomenal cook. He actually owned a commercial bakery in the Detroit, Michigan area, and he supplied the highest end country clubs and restaurants in that Southeast Michigan area with crazy, ridiculous little pastries and desserts that were, each one was like a piece of art. Like, when he came to Christmas, he was the one everybody waited for because he always had a big box and he was always willing to donate to a party that we had or whatever. And, so, unfortunately...
Sorry to hear that, man.
Yeah,
that
his stinks. Son walked in and found him passed away, and we're really going to miss him, so we'll keep the Michaels family in your prayers.
Yep, always stinks to lose a family member, and he's young. I'm sure if this
my
kid's
age,
was, yeah, I was going to
so
say...
Not,
kids
not
are the
terribly
same
young, but right. Not terribly old.
Right, sorry to hear that, brother.
Yeah,
when I left here last week after the show, I talked about I was going to go cater a baby shower, and the customer had switched up with me from chicken thighs to chicken breasts, and we both commented at the time, ooh, be careful with those, right? And so I got out of here, and I had put those on my pellet smoker, but at a low temperature right before we came on the air. So when I got back there, they were at about 130 degrees. And I had the big smoker full of pork butts, right? Because when I fire that thing up, I'm not going to do two like I needed for the party. I did eight,
right?
Because the fire's hot. I might as well cook it, and I can freeze it or give it away or sell it, whatever. But to big smoker, I monitored them very close. But what I did, what I wanted to share was I bought these big Amish chicken breasts that were over a pound a piece for the half, right? It wasn't the whole breast. It was a half, but just big, thick, probably 2 inches on the fat end. They were thick. And when I got those done, I took them to 165, right, on that thickest part. And then when I took them off, I let them rest for about 15 minutes. And then I took a knife and I cut them on the bias. They were so big at a pound a piece, and I was serving ladies, that I made like four slices through the breast and laid them out in kind of like a deck of cards, right, when you're spreading out cards. And they looked really pretty in the pan because they were nice golden brown from a marinade I had put on them, kind of a sweet teriyaki. And
yeah, what's the name of that marinade?
It's called Mr. Yoshida's, and you buy it online. I think it's kind of hard to find, but Yoshida's online.
It kind of rings a bell, but maybe you've mentioned it before.
Yeah, and it's a sweet teriyaki marinade, but it's really good. And I had left them in there overnight in that stuff, and then when they smoked up, they turned this kind of mahogany color.
Oh, nice!
Really pretty.
Yeah.
And I had them all laid out in a pan.
So your guests didn't mind teriyaki.
No, nope, they didn't. I got good comments back. I didn't talk to every one of them.
Did you put any of that sauce on when you were done?
I did. I reserved about a half a cup of it, and I just drizzled it over the top.
Right.
Put foil on there, and I'd put chicken broth in the bottom of the pan because they were going to go in a chafing dish for about 45 minutes before they were ready to eat them, so I didn't want them to dry out much. But anyway, moral of that story is I was surprised in a good way that they turned out that well. Because chicken breasts in the smoker can go from hero to zero in about 5 degrees. And they just get tough, and these were nice and juicy. So I enjoyed them. But again, the tip, as you've always said, chicken breasts at 165, pull them. Don't grow a degree over that.
Yeah, that's cool. I also did take a trip to Old Nation last week, and I got to meet up with Travis Fritz. He's the owner. Travis is one of like two or three master brewers in Michigan. To be a master brewer, and we can ask him in the next segment, we're going to dial him up. But you have to study in Germany, I believe, and it's like a year-long process to get your master brewer certificate. And it's showing up. The funny thing is here, talking with Jop over the phone a couple weeks ago, we chat back and forth sometimes. We're talking about the show or whatever, and he goes, "Man, you had this M43? And I said, "As a matter of fact, I have. It's my son Jordan's favorite beer."
Right.
So
I can see why.
So you had just sipped your first sip of it, and it hasn't been out maybe a year, maybe a little longer than that. But it's rising in prominence where East Coast beer traders, it's the number one trade. There's a couple of apps you can trade beer on. This is like a West Vletren in beer terms. So this is a big wampum if you're going to swap it online.
Right,
so
it's got some value.
Yes,
it's like
does.
Buying the timeshare in Hawaii and trading it out for North Carolina.
Right. Or vice versa.
Right, yeah. Right.
So anyway, when I showed up, it was the day they released their new Mimi.
Okay.
Which is M-E-M-I, so Me, Michigan.
Right.
And it's the triple of M43. There's a double, and we'll talk to Travis, but the Mimi, they sold out online in 3 minutes. I think they sold 400 tickets, and that allowed you to buy a case.
Wow.
3 minutes, and the people were there excited, and I met some guys from Grand Rapids. Nice dudes. We sat and had a little conversation at the bar and sipped a couple pints together.
Right.
It was nice.
This is one of those things that
phenomenon.
It costs a little more in life, but it's worth it. I think it retails $14-$15 a four pack.
Yeah.
So you're spending $4 to $5, $4.50 a can for it, but nothing you wouldn't do in a bar for a pint in a heartbeat.
Well, let's dial up Travis, and we'll see what else he's got in store for us.
All right, you're listening to The Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back. You know I don't remember a thing, but they say I sure was raising some cane. I was a rock star, party hard, getting over you come back, kid. Yeah, I must have did.
Hey, when's the last time you had a really great root beer float? Brings back memories, doesn't it? Well, over at Schmoe's, we make root beer and black cherry soda just to bring back those memories. We've got six packs to go if you don't have time to hang around for a pint or a float. But bring the kids, grab a free basket of popcorn, and make your own memories with that new generation. Schmoe's Brewery, Grand Rapids, Michigan, located on Patterson, just north of 28th Street.
Hi, it's Shasta from Old World Olive Press. We are a Michigan-based company with stores in Rockford, Grand Rapids, Plymouth, and Birmingham. Visit our tasting rooms to sample over 50 varieties of award-winning olive oils and balsamic vinegars, carefully sourced from small-batch artisans in both hemispheres. We have cooking demonstrations and private parties to help you experience the treasures we've discovered. Step into our kitchen, downtown Rockford, in our newest location on Monroe Center, Old World Olive Press. Let us help you bring the magic into your home. Go to Old World Olive Press.
This is Barbecue Bob, and I want to tell you about the biggest beer store in West Michigan. Siciliano's Market at 2840 Lake Michigan Drive has the most craft beers I have ever seen in one location. Siciliano's is a family business that works hard to bring you the best beers in the world to the West Michigan market. Visit Siciliano's and check out the huge selection of home brewing supplies as well. That's Siciliano's Market at SicilianoMKT.com.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey. Sobey Meats is an 11-year-old business on Remembrance Drive in Walker. We have high-quality custom meats as well as seafood, produce, beer, and wine. Sobey Meats is proud to supply the barbecue enthusiasts with over 50 sauces, Kansas City and Memphis rubs, as well as barbecue supplies. Our meat counter is 60 feet long with 70 different homemade sausages. Check us out at SobeyMeats.com. That's SobeyMeats.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the weekend. Get out of bed, put your feet on the floor, maybe your boots, because Mother Nature's jerking us around again and gives us a little taste of winter here. But hey, there's no reason not to grill and drink a beer. What you thinking about that, Barbecue Bob?
Well, I think our producer, Mr. Brian Fongers, told us it was January 77th.
Yeah.
So that's pretty good.
Right.
I didn't really understand it at first. I thought he was talking about the year 77 because when I was in the military, 78, I was out in Hawaii. And in 78, I was picking up the newspaper, seeing the blizzards in Michigan.
Right.
And I was just not relating at all because I was laying on the beach reading the press.
Yeah, okay.
Didn't even feel bad. Oh, that doesn't feel bad either. So I'm cranking open an M43 right here. And on the grilling line right now, Jop, you pour yourself a little bit of that. On the grilling line right now, we got Mr. Travis Fritz from Old Nation Brewing Company.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Hey, buddy.
Oh, it's good to talk to you this morning.
Well, it's good to be pouring one of your famous beers.
Yeah, very nice. Well, I'm happy you're doing it.
I tell you what, I got to give you people a little background on you, and you can fill in the mistakes I make. But
sure.
I met Travis about 6 years ago in the parking lot of Alan Bob's. I was doing a remote. I think Joppa, it was maybe even before you were on the show, so weren't there. Because
right.
I think like Kevin Matthews was with me. Or Tony Gates or something.
Oh, just another grill bitch. That's all.
Yeah. Not as good as you. But anyway, Travis shows up, and he was recommended to me by a friend. And he rolls up, and he's got all these samples of beer. And he gave them to me when he left. We tried a few on air, and I thought, wow, this stuff is crazy good. And he was brewing in Detroit, I believe, at the time, right? Yeah. Is that Brew Detroit?
Right. Yeah, it was brewing at the Detroit Brewing Company, which was kind of a contract brand. We're brewing it all over the place, but I think at that time we were brewing at Atwater Block in Detroit.
So he tells me he's going to go to Williamston and put in a brewery. And then about a year ago, I tried one of these, maybe it wasn't even a year ago, 6 months ago or so, I tried one of these M43s, and I go, oh my gosh, is that a ridiculously good beer? And then I look at it, and it says Williamston, Michigan, and I go, son of a gun. I lost track of Travis. Where's Waldo?
Yeah.
We finally found you.
Yeah. Well, it was it was a hoot. I think in between the last time you and I spoke, Bob, and now, I was honestly doing a lot of sort of consultation work. more than anything. So I really wasn't in the industry at all. I mean, chatting with folks, I'd go, you know, different contracts and go to different breweries and do that work. But it was kind of my job to not be out in the forefront. And so maybe that explains why.
So when did you start Old Nation Brewing Company?
2015, June 10th of 2015.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
2015, 2.5 years.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
And you've got that thing.
Yeah, I think we, you know, when we started, we, as I said, you know, I didn't have a lot of contact with, you know, folks that were drinking beer in the industry for some time. I wasn't doing any kind of marketing or sales of my own product, and just kind of thought, as you said, you know, we'd been planning on opening this brewery for a long time and thought, okay, well, you know, we've been doing this work for 15 or more years professionally. I think we got it under control. Let's look, see where trends are in the U.S. And see if we can't make those beers. Look to the East Coast and the West Coast, saw a lot of the traditional German styles and English styles, which I think I brought along with me the last time you and I spoke, Bob.
Right. Yeah, mostly German.
Mostly German, yep. And, you know, we're happening on the East Coast and the West Coast. And we thought, well, great, you know, Michigan traditionally has followed those two places. And, you know, honestly, that didn't help us having that kind of a thought pattern at all, because Michigan now really is its own thing. So we started making those traditional beers, which I love to make and drink. And, you know, folks around here just didn't have enough I didn't have enough pull to it. You know, it wasn't different enough, I think, for folks around here, and that's what brought us to the M43.
Okay, so after you gave me a tour of your place, and I'm telling you, Jop, this is a very substantial facility with many, many 40-barrel tanks. I mean, I think you have a 40-barrel system?
We do have a 40-barrel system. Yeah, we got a couple 40-barrel tanks. Most of our tanks, thanks to the M43 now, are, you know, we're requiring 80 and 120-barrel tanks. Now, so the expansion that we're carrying.
Well, time to build a builder big. Right. You build a big building.
You better get some bigger ones, because I did get a chance to try the hottest thing on the market, which was, I think you say Mimi, but the day I was there, you were releasing it, and it was a raucous crowd waiting to cash in their tickets. I think they said they sold out in 3 minutes. 400 people won the chance to buy a case of Mimi, but we'll talk about that in a second. But the funny thing is, see, you did this so wisely in that you stayed in the background. And you learned the industry so well, so that when you did make your launch, you didn't get egg on your face.
Yeah, well, you see a lot in industry. Let me put it this way. I guess, you know, we're talking about a food product, right? We're talking about beer, but people love beer more than other food. I mean, you don't see, you know, mac and cheese enthusiast groups on Facebook or whatever, you know, and so they're really invested in it. And because of that, there, you know, I guess starting maybe 10, 12 years ago, there was this tendency for brewers to kind of establish themselves as almost as kind of rock stars, you know. And I thought that was okay, but, you know, not just here in Michigan, but all over the U.S. I feel like some brewers were kind of losing the point. And ultimately, this is a trade, just like carpentry or plumbing or anything else. And you know, if you can't fit a joint, then you can't really be a carpenter, and it doesn't matter how much of a rock star you are, you're not able to do your job. And so, for me, particularly coming from Germany, having learned to be a brewer in Germany, where there is no such kind of rock star thing, brewers really are just tradesmen, and the point is, do you make a good product or not? Not can you sell it in a certain way or, you know, under a certain cultural ethic.
Great outlook.
Yep.
So, Travis, we're not even getting into the meat and potatoes here yet, and we've only got a couple minutes left in this segment, so I'm sure you're busy this morning, but can you hang on? We'll chat a little bit more, and can you hang on through the break, and we'll do this one more segment?
Of course, yeah, I'd love to.
That'd be awesome. So, basically, I guess the thought I had when I saw what you had done is... Jop and I go to a lot of breweries because the brewers are friends on the show.
Sure.
And we see a lot of people doing it this way and that way. And am I right here, Jop? Do you see plenty of guys who, when you go there and you just say, well.
Yeah, I mean, it's because they make the beer that they like, and I feel like sometimes they get stuck in a rut.
Yeah,
frankly.
Well, I mean, if you just make the beer, yeah, you're exactly right. If you just make the beer that you like, what are you learning?
Right.
You know? How are you expanding yourself as a tradesperson? And I think, you know, just in terms of a personal edification, that's an important thing to do, is kind of go, you know, growth doesn't happen when you're comfortable, you know?
Right. Exactly. So, Travis, where is the brewery located real quickly?
So right on Grand River, 1500 East Grand River in Williamson, Michigan. So we're just on the outskirts of a real small town here in the middle of the state near Lansing.
All right. Well, that's cool. Well, stick with us, if you would, please. We got to take a quick break, but we'll be right back.
Sounds great. Every time you kiss me, it's like sunshine and whiskey.
Howdy, it's Barbecue Bob from The Grilling Guys. We're working hard on Operation GI Barbecue, which is an effort to send a plane load of barbecue to our troops. Right now, go to GIBBQ.com, look at the Sapphire Ceramic Grill on auction. You can bid on this $2,000 ceramic grill package at RepoCast.com. That's SAFFIRE at RepoCast. So remember our troops at GIBBQ.com.
Have you ever wanted a great craft beer, but alcohol just isn't in the program that day? Well, the beer engineers at Schmoe's Brewing Company have engineered a beer just for you. A pale ale with less than 0.5% of alcohol. Ask for Schmoe's 120 where you dine or drink. It's the non-alcoholic answer with a craft beer taste. Schmoe's Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan, Beer City, USA.
Wouldn't it be sweet if life just came with an assist when you needed it? At State Farm, we live for a great assist, and that's why State Farm agent Sterling Massey is proud to be a part of the NBA, the National Bureau of Assists. Whether you're driving the lane or defending the house, when it comes to assisting you with your insurance and financial needs, Sterling and his staff make it look as easy as a behind-the-back dime dropper. Call Sterling Massey at 616-532-6071. If your window sticks, slips, squeak, or leak, then it's time to replace them with Anderson Windows from Standale Lumber's Home Center in Standale. Standard and custom sizes, along with low-E glass, low-maintenance exteriors, and rich wood interior, can turn simple window replacement into serious home improvement. You'll feel increased security, your home will be much quieter and more comfortable, but the increased curb appeal will make you proud of your home and its new facelift from your Anderson Windows and Standale Lumber's Home Center. 4100 Lake Michigan Drive, Standale, or find us on the web at standalelumber.com.
With the Grilling Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the Grilling Guy rake, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the Grilling Guys show.
Welcome back. You are listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Thanks for tuning in. Hey, we've still got Travis Fritt from the brewery on the line, Old Nation Brewery, and we're going to pick up our conversation where we left off. So, Travis, we've talked about the hows and the whens, but let's get down to the real meat of this story. Let's talk about this M43 brew that is taking my palate by sensation. This is my new favorite beer, man. Great. Tell me what it is.
So, New England IPA, briefly, traditional IPAs here in America have been focusing on the hop, which the New England IPA does too. Hop is a flower that we add as we boil the wort before it's fermented, so this sugary liquid. And the hop gives us not only bitterness, which is commonly used to balance the sweetness that comes from the sugar and the malt that we use as a base for the beer, all brewers do, but also some aroma and some flavor. Traditionally, American hops particularly have focused on the flavor and aromas of pine or spruce, and New England IPAs take a different approach. So we're not looking for bitterness, really, just a balancing bitterness, not a really intense bitterness that people are used to, and it ends up coming across more like a Central European Pilsner, and the flavors and aroma of the hops, which are still grown in the Pacific Northwest but are new strains of hops, tend to focus less on that piney spruce character and more on the flavors of sort of tropical fruits.
And I think that's why New England IPAs are gaining so much prominence, because A lot of people, and Jop will attest to this, a lot of people don't really want that really tart, punky, you know, heavy hopped beer. It's just too much for us.
It is, and it's too much for even brewers. I think we got caught into in a kind of an arms race maybe in the mid-2000s, right, where everybody's just trying to make beer more bitter, and I don't think folks like that.
Yeah, so I see we've got like a 65 IBU on this, so it's not calm, but it's not going to tear your taste buds either.
That's true, and there are some mitigating factors in these beers as well. I mean, some of the ways we're treating water chemistry and fermentation and all that kind of stuff allow for even that 65 IBU, which, you're right, would be really firmly bitter, to kind of take a back seat and express itself as something more like 35 to 40 IBUs.
That's right. Like poetry, man.
It yeah. is. Well, and,
you need
and that's
to write
the,
that.
That's a difference between a master brewer and a brewer. He knows his craft.
Well, that was right? that was a really good point, Jop. And I wanted to say, tell us about, give us 1 minute dissertation on becoming a master brewer.
Here in the United States, anybody can be a master brewer, right? You, if you work in a brewery and are in control of the beer that's made, you're a master brewer. I learned before the craft beer boom here in the United States, or before the big boom in the 2000s, I learned in Berlin, Germany, where essentially it is more based in science. There's art in it. Everyone has art in their heart and soul, and certainly that can be expressed in your beer, but ultimately the fundamental foundation of brewing or any trade are those techniques and the science sort of that folks have learned before you. So it's really
the science.
Learning that.
Travis Fritz, the science guy. Yeah, uh-huh. Here we go. I think I'd like to take his class.
But, you know, I brought that up because the Germans have a discipline, right?
Yeah.
That's not a mistake. And they if you talk to a German tile setter, I mean, they're so precise and so, let's say, anal about their work that, you know, if it's not absolutely perfect, it's a failure. Everything's going in the dumpster.
Yeah. Right. Well, and I mean, it's the old, frankly, it's the old apprenticeship style that you have to work your way up to be a master through. You have to jump through these hoops and prove yourself in all these different ways before you get that title conferred to you. And I think there's a lot of value in that, to be completely frank.
Well, it's paying off for you. Now, you did a double version of this M43.
Yeah, the Boss Tweed. Yeah.
What does that mean? When you go from a single to a double, I know what it used to mean in the bar, but I don't know what it means for this beer.
That's not too different. I mean, we're only going up about 2% alcohol between the M43 and the Boss Tweed, but it really is there as a way to tell people, in short, that it's a strong beer, right? It's much stronger than you might expect.
But traditionally, singles, doubles, and triples were triple the amount of, like, malts, right?
Well, that's exactly right. Yeah, but that's when brewers were making, you know, commonly 2.3 to 3.8% right. ABV beers. You know, so now it's a lot harder.
Yeah. So the Mimi that you came out with is the triple version of this?
Right, and that is more to do with the accepted nomenclature in brewing. So beers that are above, IPAs particularly, that are above 10% alcohol are called triples.
If you just tuned in, you listen to the Grilling Guys and the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We're talking with Travis Fritz from Old Nation Brewing Company, Williamston, Michigan, one of the hottest beers on the beer scenes across North America right now. And kudos to you, man. I'm so proud of you because you're just a youngster. What are you, 19?
Yeah, I'm 38.
He's still a baby face.
I had a birthday yesterday.
Yeah, well, happy birthday. That's great. Awesome.
Yeah, well, very proud of you, man. You're just making us all proud in the state of Michigan and all beer lovers. But while I sat at your bar, you had all these people picking up their Mimis, and this young lady was there. She was one of these people that swaps beer online.
Yes.
She said the Mimi is the hottest property in the beer trading business right now you can get.
Yeah, well, that's news to me, but I think it's great. We don't spend a dollar on marketing, and we're so thankful to have folks like her who, you know, talk about the beer and drink the beer and make that buzz that, frankly, money couldn't buy. We're happy that the product is speaking for itself, to be honest.
Well, Jop, I guess we can't get him as an advertiser, so we better end the interview quick.
But I talk for beer.
Well, we're thankful for guys like you.
Yeah, right. So, Travis, any food at the brewery?
Absolutely, yeah. We have a full kitchen that's open whenever the brewery is open. My wife actually runs the restaurant and does a job that I certainly couldn't do. She does a great job.
So tell us about your Vienna Lager.
Right. So Vienna Lager is a traditional style that comes from Austria, of course. It's a darker lager beer, generally a light to dark amber in color, sometimes even a copper color. And what it is a beer that's meant for drinking, not thinking, is what we say here, right? And those are some of the hardest beers to make because they're very exacting. All the differences in between these different kinds of lagers, Vienna, Pilsner, whatever, are so subtle that you really have to hit your marks in all time. So it really is a brewer's beer. It has a lot more to do with us and our process and what we enjoy to do. It sells okay, but, you know, it's not going to blow anybody's mind, and that's kind of where craft beer is.
I beg
right
to
now.
Differ. I tried one that you gave me, and it blew my mind. I forgot how good lagers can be, and here's why people don't make lagers much. It takes so long.
Yeah. Well, and there's so much can go wrong, right? There's nothing to hide behind in a lager, which is, I mean, if you have to make a perfect circle, it's a lot harder than drawing, 50 circles that don't matter whether or not they're perfect. And I guess that's kind of what lagers are like, or making that beer as perfectly as possible and putting as little of yourself into it as possible. And frankly, knowing when to stop is really important about those beers, if that makes sense.
Those are all things I can't do very well.
Amen.
Well, yeah, it's good to round out yourself as a tradesman, right. I guess, and that's part of it.
Well, you won't be making perfect circles if you have too many of these memes.
That's true. That. Maybe it's the only one.
You know, I've observed that it comes in a perfectly circular can, though.
No doubt.
Oh, so there's good. Some brilliance there too. Check this out. It's a silver can,
right,
with a label instead of having pre-printed. You know, so you end up with 10,000 beers that don't sell, and you can't use the can.
Right.
Yep.
That's a really, I like that, and it's ecologically friendly. So I think do the environment a favor and go buy some of this Old Nation brewing.
Absolutely.
So Travis, where can we find your product?
Well, you can find it all over at any local craft beer seller. You should be able to find all of our products, with the exception, of course, of the Mimi in this case. Meyer and larger retailers have been extremely generous with us, and they do carry Boss Tweed and M43. And generally we'll carry those bigger brands that we put out. We're so happy to be working with big retailers like that. But again, those small retailers are who gave us the support to start this journey. And I hope folks really explore those stores, whether they're buying M43 or something else.
Great. Well, I'm sure Siciliano's Market is well stocked. Dude, I've got good news for you too. Briggs Mechanical is my carrier dealer in Williamston.
Awesome. Yeah, we know those guys. They're great.
So I'm going to be seeing you once a week.
Cool, man. Well, excellent. We'll look forward to seeing you.
Okay. I think good news is a perspective. Just saying.
Good for me.
Anyway, Travis Fritz, Old Nation Brewery, thanks for your time, brother, and best of luck to you, and keep brewing this wonderful beer.
Hey, thanks so much, fellas. Have a great day.
All right, Travis.
There he was. Hey, you've been listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Coming up next, a little Mad Jack and some porchetta. Stick with us. We'll be back.
If those blue water waves could have stayed at her feet on the beach instead of going out with the tide. If that wind was a friend, it'd still be blowing in like a warm southern whisper.
The Grilling Guys are happy to introduce Fen Valley Vineyards. Fen Valley Vineyards is the oldest family-owned winery in Michigan, located in the middle of 45 acres of vineyards carpeting the rolling hills near Lake Michigan. Fen Valley has prided itself in the production of classic European-style wines for the past 22 years. Visit their tasting rooms at the Vineyard Orinsaugatuck, Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Sunday, they're open from 1 to 5. Go to fenvalley.com.
Have you missed episodes of The Grillin' Guys? Go to thegrillinguys.com and you can play episodes clear back to 2010. Subscribe to the podcast and you'll never miss another one again. That's thegrillinguys.com.
We live it, we love it. Alan Bob Sports. Sportsman serving sportsmen. It's more than a sport, it's a way of life. Your satisfaction's been our aim. Since 59, been at the top of our game. We stand behind our name. We live it.
Hey, you looking for a relaxed spot to come and have a beer with a couple of buddies? Swing on over to Schmoe's, 2600 Patterson. That's just north of 28th Street, right by the ice rink. We've got 16 taps, free popcorn, free pool, and free Wi-Fi. There's even outlets underneath the bar if you need to charge your device. So come on over to Schmoe's, have a great beer. Bring the kids. We even have root beer. See you soon at Schmoe's, 2600 Patterson, Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, we just had a great conversation. I hope you caught it with Travis Fritz from Old Nation Brewery. This guy's got it going on, and I don't rant and rave about microbrew that often because we get an opportunity to drink a lot of them, but this guy's is over the top. You got it. You got to try this stuff. Yeah, it's $15 for four cans, but you go buy
not
it.
Not everywhere. I found it cheaper.
Yeah, but yeah. You go buy it, whatever it costs you, you're gonna be glad you did. But anyway, Barbecue Bob, what you thinking, man?
Well, I'm just thinking, you know, I wrote this show plan this week for grilling on the creative side, and that's how we had our next guest come on. But we ended up doing two whole segments on beer. So there's a message in there about grilling on the creative side.
Right.
What's the message?
You can't do it without a beer.
Duh!
Yeah, right. And the other message is that when the grilling guys get a beer in their hand and they like it, they have another one.
And we get ridiculous.
Right.
So anyway, yeah. Somebody that'll totally agree with that concept is on the grilling line right now, and his name is Mad Jack.
What's going on, gentlemen?
Hey, man, you know what? It's so good to hear your voice, brother. I think it's been a year or so since I've talked to you. What's new in your world?
It has. It is. All things are looking good. Work is good. Barbecue is good. We're getting ready to move. New house down the road a little bit. Not any farther away from the grilling guys, but a little bit closer to Ann Arbor town.
Yeah, so, well.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're on the air there, too.
Right.
You're good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all good.
Exactly. So Mad Jack's Barbecue is still alive and well?
It is. We just, you know, people call us all the time, and they're wondering, hey, man, how are you open? Where can we get? There's no brick and mortar. We just cater, and we just, it's just a specialty.
But this is a guy we ran into. This is a guy we ran into at Dark Horse, which is why I called Jack. I said, are you going to their smoke off? It's like in a couple weeks, and he's not going. But that's where we ran into Jack, and he had this totally jacked up grill, and he's doing this jacked up porchetta. And Jop, well, I mean, I think you gave him a ring, didn't you?
Yeah, you know what? If he'd shave, I'd marry him. But he doesn't do that. So that's how good this porchetta is. And I don't mean to beat this horse dead, but every time I get a chance to tell somebody about this, I take it because
yeah,
it's one of the best things I've ever eaten off a grill, and I've eaten a lot of things off a grill. But break that down for us, Jack, and what is a porchetta?
Well, porchetta is it's a traditional central Italy dish from 14th century. Really, it's been around forever. Hell, you can find it in Vatican cookbooks. People are still doing it. The traditional way is a whole...
Did you say, hell, you can find it in the Vatican cookbooks? That's something wrong with that right there.
Since I got into it, I've really dug deep. I don't mean to blow your mind or nothing. It's there, and we haven't done it like this yet, but a whole deboned pig, seasoned up and stuffed with love, put on rotisserie. You know, I mean, just all the fun herbs and spices that you'd use for pork, and you know, they spin it over there, we spin it over here.
They do a whole pig?
Yeah, I've done sucklings before, but I've seen videos of people in Italy doing whole pigs, and that's traditional. I mean, hell, that's a Sunday meal over there for, you know, that's a sit down deal for them. So
how do you do it here? Because it takes a little work. Start from the butcher and go forward.
Butcher, we start at the butcher. We pig is you know, gutted and everything, and I mean, real quick, it's just the loin with the whole side of the pig attached to it, basically. We like to keep the loin attached to the pig now. We did do it for a while where we had separate loins and the, you know, we used a pork belly. So now we're able to, I mean, if you think about a pig standing sideways in front of you, that's, you know, you cut up from the front side of the ham to the back side of the shoulder.
Yeah, but
square that piece up, debone it, pull the rib, you know, you're cutting out most of the belly portion, but you're using the side of the pig itself, and you can actually debone it, pull out the the baby backs and the spares, and you can roll that up, and you know, that's porchetta.
Okay, but let's dial it down to something, you know, the guy in the backyard could actually do, and that's when we first met you. You were using pork belly.
Okay, so if we can do pork belly, so you can find pork belly, you can take that, trim it up accordingly, and you can take pork shoulder and separate. You know, we use loin. You want to use a? I'd rather use a loin or even a tenderloin. You would spread that out. You know, slowly. What do we want to say? Fillet that out.
Butterfly it.
Butterfly it. Yep. And then season that up nice. Season up the inner side of the belly. Roll it up pretty. Get a nice tie from your butcher. Score the, you want to have the back side of the belly, or the back side of the belly scored skin on. And then small rotisserie. I mean, you could cut a belly in half. You could make just one that's only 8 inches long, if you want, or you could make one the length of a pig.
But you'd want more than just seasoning in there. Wouldn't you want some cheeses or something?
We don't do cheeses. One, the mess, because people ask me about stuffing with sausages and cheesy sausages. And, it's yummy, but it's, what I got coming out is just pure pork fat that, as my rotisserie spins, the fire below, open fire. I mean, we love to grill, but this is on a hardcore rotisserie setup, so it'll spin and the fat just kind of burns and it crisps up the outside of the skin and
feeds the fire.
Yeah, so hence the fire, right?
Jack, you skipped the seasonings. I don't need quantities, but I need what it is, because there's the magic, brother. And you don't have to give your recipe away, but give us part of it.
All right. No, the standards. I mean, if you're cooking pork, the fennels, the corianders, there's some garlic, lemon zest is nice. Always salt and pepper, chili flakes, rosemary. Those are the, it is magic, but it's not like science. I mean, it's just, I try to be homey about it, pick from the garden. We use fennel tops, fresh fennel, fresh pork, coriander. Always want fresh. We dust with salt and pepper inside and out. And as it's rotisserizing, if that's even a word.
That's your word, baby. I'm using it. I'm going to put that on a T-shirt. Rotisserizing.
Gotcha. So as it's spinning, we'll dust it a little bit because it's got fat rolling around. I mean, you got to fight off the people. We do it like in front of hundreds of people, and it's like you got to get people to back up because everybody's like, they got their fork in their hand and their mouth. It's pretty awesome sight.
Dude, it's awesome. It's really awesome.
When we cut it, you can go to restaurants, and we've been to nice restaurants in Chicago and some other cities where they'll sell us like a steak. They'll cut the porchetta into like an inch or an inch and a half long width steak, plate with their yummies, and it's awesome. But here we make mostly sandwiches, so we'll do a caramelized onion. We do a green verde that has a lot of the same things in it. It's EVO and parsley, the fennel, the coriander, some chili flakes, garlic, the lemon zest. Blend that up. We drizzle that on top of, you put the chopped up porchetta, and make sure you get some of that skin, because that crunchy skin is what people freak about. Have that in there. Put some caramelized onions on that. This is on ciabatta. Drizzle it with that verde. And, all night long, you're like, oh, my God, it's the best thing I've ever tasted. Can we have some more? Yeah, so that's how it works.
Very cool. Jack, always good to hear your voice, brother. I hope things are good with you and your family, and we appreciate you making time to chat with the Grilling Guys.
Very good. Hey, nice talking to you, man. Thank you very much.
All right. Time for a little man law.
Now you're a man! A man. Now you're a man! A man. You are now a man. You're a man! Now you're a man!
That's right. I feel like a man after talking porchetta and M43. How about you?
Ditto.
Happy to be a man. Man law number 17. All men have the right to remain silent. This right should be exercised in the following situation. Does this make me look fat?
She said.
Do you think my best friend is pretty?
She said.
Oof. Do you know how fast you were going?
Hate that one.
I hear that one a lot.
Right.
I never hear the "does this make me fat" one. And I rarely hear, "do you think my best friend is pretty?" We covered that 30 years ago.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
She's a dog, honey.
Done and
She's
over.
She's a dog.
Done and over. But anyway, did a little man law, did a little Travis Fritt. We've done a little cooking on the grill. What about roasted garlic barbecue, Bob?
Oh, we got
That's
a minute,
something
don't
that,
we?
That is just something that is
real cool.
A good, cool thing.
Yep.
How do you do that?
So you grab a whole clump of garlic and you lop
That'd be
the
a head?
Yep, you grab a head of garlic, thank you, and you lop the rooted end off of it just a little bit, and then you you pour some EVO in there, and you put sea salt and pepper on it, and you find a way to prop that up on your grill so it stands upright. Now, okay. If your grates are big enough, it'll get in there, but you roast that with some good smoke for about 40 minutes.
Makes a little garlic butter.
It is fantastic.
Mother Nature's
garlic
butter.
So good for you.
All right. Coming up next, we're even though Mother Nature's not cooperating, it is spring, and we got a little turkey hunting coming up, and we got an expert, Ryan Boyer, from the National Wild Turkey Federation. Stick with us. We'll be back. Let your hair down, feel alive. When was the last time you did something for the first time?
This is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about Garrett's Appliances, which is your one-stop shop for all your barbecue supplies, tools, grills, and smokers in West Michigan. Garrett's has grills for your outdoor kitchen. In fact, we at Home Life Outdoor Kitchens use them exclusively as our supplier for the very best equipment available. That's GarrettsAppliances.com, GarrettsAppliances.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the weekend. I hope you're out of bed by now, and because our show's about done. But we got one more guest we'd like to bring with to you who's with us right now on the grilling line. It's Ryan Boyer from the National Wild Turkey Federation. He's their district biologist for West Michigan here. Hey, Ryan, welcome to the show, brother.
Hey, thanks, Randy. Happy to be here.
Yeah, well, thank you. So I get this email from the Michigan Department of Natural Resources because Barbecue Bob and I are hunter and fishermen, and I get this thing called a turkey tract. Tell us about what that is.
Yeah, absolutely. So our turkey tracts are informational kiosks, essentially, something that the NWTF, ourselves, and the DNR, we work together to partner and collaborate to create an idea, and it's closely represents or resembles the GEMS program, the Grouse Enhanced Management Systems, where we're trying to highlight and promote the public access opportunities and public lands that are open for turkey hunting across the state of Michigan. And so it's an informational kiosk. It's a program that we're working with the state agency currently to expand across the state to highlight quality turkey hunting opportunities. As well as educate the public of our ongoing habitat work and our collaboration with the state agency to improve wildlife habitat for not only wild turkeys but other species. And third and foremost is to help make a connection between local businesses and the users of the turkey tracks. And what I mean by that is we've got opportunities for local businesses like restaurants and hotels to offer a discount to individuals that are going to use these public land areas if they take their selfie, pull out their cell phone, take a picture of themselves, and go in. They have opportunities to get discounts on gear. For instance, the one that we're going to be kicking off here on April 13th at 1:30, that's going to be on the Barry State Game Area. Two of our supporters, Bob Gun and Tackle out of Hastings, Michigan, as well as the State Street Diner, have offered discounts from State Street Diner. If you take your picture with a kiosk, you get a free cup of coffee with a purchase of breakfast.
Yeah, cool.
Bob's Gun and Tackle is offering 10% discount on the purchase of merchandise or clothing as well.
So. Hey, Ryan, this is Bob. Thanks for joining us. I'm sure the public is going to gobble up those specials. I'm just curious. Across the nation, what's the species looking like in terms of quantity, quality, health, numbers?
Yeah, so, for the most part, breaking it down by subspecies of wild turkeys in North America, there's been some states that have seen some slight declines as far as the eastern wild turkeys are concerned. For the most part, I think most of the states, a lot of the harvest records and the population censuses are showing us that populations have somewhat stabilized in a lot of states, including Michigan. We, in the early 2000s, we saw some of the peak of harvest numbers exceeding 34,000, 35,000, but have since come back down a little bit and stabled, leveled off sort of around that 30,000 bird harvest mark for spring.
Of course, that's just harvest, so that doesn't necessarily reflect on the herd of turkeys in my backyard. We've got turkey all over the place, buddy.
I know. My new hound, Pearl, my new bird dog, just got her first encounter with a row of them running across the backyard. It freaked her out. She is like, holy crap, Dad, what is that?
Uh-huh. Yeah. She lived a little wet spot. Well, Ryan, thanks so much for joining us. Go to, what's your website?
Yeah, nwtf.org.
Right. Very good.
All right. Thanks so much.
Excellent. Thanks.
Okay. I thought it was like NWA. What do you think, Brian?
Yeah.
It's a little different, right?
Yeah. Come on. These are the turkey guys. He's a biologist. Give the guy a break, you know? He's not a media star like you, Bob. But anyway, it all works out.
He could only hope.
Right? Hey, you've been listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We hope you have a safe weekend. Get out in your backyard and fire up a grill or a smoker, and we'll talk with you next week.
Come on, baby, shoot a smile at me. Midnight sale.